God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Hopefully everyone's having a wonderful day. You know, I guess kind of fall's kind of set in. Some of you might like that. I like summertime myself, but that's okay. I was a little cold last night. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. I'm going to start there. That's not really going to be my text, but I want to start there because I want to assure everybody what it says. It says this, and Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. And I want you to remember that for everything that we do, we have to have faith in God. It's important that it's not faith in ourselves, it's not faith in our pastor, it's not faith in our parents, it's not faith in our husband or wife or our grandparents or anybody else. It's having faith in God. Then Mark chapter 9, verse 23, I'm reading from the New Living Translation here. It says, this is Jesus talking. It says, what do you mean, if I can, Jesus asked. He says, anything is possible if a person believes. Now, it's important to understand anything is possible if you believe. All right? But if you do not believe, nothing is possible. So really, it's up to you to make things possible. It's according to you. It's according to your faith. And the reason I read the other scripture first is because your faith has to be in God. You're not going to make it happen. You are not going to make anything happen, but you can believe God that it will happen. See, if you believe God, it will happen, then it will happen. If you cannot believe God, then it won't happen. The problem is a lot of times we look at what we need and we're thinking, I don't see how that might could happen. I don't get it. That seems impossible. Or maybe it's not impossible. Maybe it's just improbable. See, there's impossible and then there's improbable. And actually, I actually looked it up in the dictionary what the difference of that is. Impossible is not able to occur, exist, or be done. It can't be done, all right? And a lot of times we might face a situation that's impossible. There is no way. Now, you know, one thing about that time, if you get to a point where there is no way, if you are told that you have an incurable disease, you realize the only way to get it cured is through Jesus Christ? I mean, you know, sometimes maybe, well, I mean, that's the only place I can turn. Now, improbable is not likely to happen or to be true or unlikely. It can happen. There's a chance it can happen. You know, a lot of times if you look at, well, even like ESPN has a deal, and during the football game, they'll actually, they'll change the odds, and it says, well, this team has a 52% chance of winning. But you know what? I actually saw one time where a team got down to a 2% chance of winning. So that seems improbable. But ultimately, they won in overtime. So they did win. Now, you know, if there's a 1% or 2% chance, there's still a chance. There's still a chance. You know, that gives you hope. But you know what? Even if there's not a chance, We serve a God of impossibility. All right. My dad's favorite scripture, many of you might know that, is Luke 18:27. He says this. He replied, what is impossible for people is possible with God. See, our faith has to be in God to work anything that's impossible or improbable. Now, my title today comes from Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, he had a saying. He put it. They put it on at the Mabee Center on the basketball court. And when I was younger, we used to go to basketball games. And it says this: expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. Now, most people don't expect a miracle, so they'll never get a miracle. Now, maybe you don't need a miracle, but maybe you need something that's improbable. You know, a lot of people are talking about how the economy's, you know, not working for them very good, how gas is more expensive, how you haven't got a raise, but everything is costing more money, and it's putting a squeeze on you. But we serve an awesome God, a God that is more than enough. He didn't say he's just enough. He says he's more than enough. Able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think. See, we have a more than God, a God that's more than. And I tell you what, you know, Brother Roberts also had another saying, and I used to remember this on his television program. He would say this: something good is going to happen to you today. Anyone remember that? You know what? I don't think a lot of people, I mean, I think, you know, the reason something good is going to happen to you is because you're going to expect it. Every day you just should expect something good to happen to you because you serve an awesome God. And I get it. You know, things in the world are not awesome, but we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not part of the world's, laws. In fact, I looked up the word, miracle. So Robert said, expect a miracle. So what is a miracle? Well, you know, the dictionary says a miracle is an event or action that apparently contradicts known scientific laws and is hence thought to be due to a supernatural cause, especially an act of God. Now, so I want to ask you, why have they been telling me for the last few years to trust the science when I don't have to trust the science? I have God, and God is more than enough. And you know, so I should expect an event to occur that is not possible to man to happen to me. And if I believe, all things are possible. See, all things is an all-inclusive word meaning all or everything. Now, here's the thing. Most people don't believe that scripture. They don't believe that everything is possible because they can't believe it's going to happen to them. In fact, I've even seen people, you know, get a healing or get a miracle, and they're like, I can't believe it. Well, it wasn't your faith. And sometimes that happens. You know, sometimes, you know, we have spiritual gifts as God wills. But you know what? It happens all the time if you believe. And I understand the hardest part is the if part. Because when you're facing things that look improbable, when you're facing circumstances that look like there is no way, you have to understand, you have to believe anyway. Yeah, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Have you seen my God? Have you seen my God? I mean, I point out a lot of times, you know, the God kind of faith is where God said, let there be light, and there was light. Why was there light? Because God says, let there be. Well, someone else the other day, you know, was pointing out to me, we all know this. Actually, God 9 times said, let there be, and there always was because God said it. But this is the same God that we're putting our faith in when we're expecting our miracle. This is the same God. Our God never changes. So the deal is, if we can believe that our God is able, and most people, well, of course you can believe your God is able, then act like it. You have to act like you believe your God is able, because you don't believe your God is able if you're worried about something after you've already asked him to meet your need. Now, what you're doing is that you're over here in the if category. If. See, you are the key. You know, the Bible talks a lot about opening your mouth. What do you need? Tell God what you need and thank him for what he wants. It's in Philippians 4:6-8 or whatever. You know, it's talking about you talking, you speaking. But you got to believe. And it shouldn't be hard to believe in your God. But what, you know, you should be able to believe in your God over believing in circumstances. I mean, you know, and I get it. Things look rough. So I decided, according to what I read, there's only one miracle in the Bible that's in every gospel account. And that's where Jesus fed the 5,000. So I'm going to look today, or we're going to look today, where Jesus fed the 5,000. We're going to go to John chapter 6, and we're going to read from the New Living Translation because it makes it a little more plain to us. John, the 6th chapter, and we're going to kind of look at this in context, because a lot of times we read a story, we clap about it, we like, that's good, but how's that going to help me? Most people say, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Well, that was a miracle. That's awesome. You know, if I was one of the 5,000 people, that would be great. But how's that going to help me? And so here it says right here, it says, after this, Jesus crossed over to the far side. And just kind of give you some context. Jesus has heard the news that John the Baptist was killed. And he was trying to get away from everybody. But when you're Jesus, you just can't get away, because everybody wants to be around you. And so he went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, says known as the Sea of Tiberias, and a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Now, interesting part about it is, you know, we have people today, maybe movie stars or you know, someone that's, you know, that maybe a politician or whatever, you know, like, well, take movie stars, everywhere they walk, you have this paparazzi. You know, they take pictures or whatever, or if there's people around, they all want to shake their hand or get an autograph or get a selfie or something like that. Well, think how much more Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, not only, I mean, he wasn't just appearing in pictures. He was healing the sick. I mean, you know, I mean, these people, obviously the Bible says multiple times that they thronged him. Wherever he went, people were, you know, I don't want to say they're bothering him, but because I don't want to say that, because Jesus loved each and every one of them and had compassion on him. So it wasn't bothering them, but they were always around. All right, you know, and verse number 3 says this, and Jesus climbed a hill. So Jesus was a hill climber, by the way. We just figured that one out. You know, I don't know. He climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly the time for a Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. So actually, other accounts, you know, Jesus sit there on the mountain and began to teach the people. You know, and said he was, you know, really he wanted to get away, but he was moved with compassion and he wanted to minister to the people. And then this says this, Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, you know, and I like this because it actually tells us which disciple, because sometimes I always wonder. It says, turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed these people? Verse 6 says, he was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Well, they were out in the middle of nowhere, all right? In the middle of nowhere, there wasn't a Walmart around, there wasn't a McDonald's, there wasn't a Dairy Queen, there wasn't anything else, and, you know, they're out in the middle of nowhere. You know, there wasn't a place to go get food. Now, I have often wondered, why did nobody think about bringing food? Because we only have, you realize, of 5,000 people, we only have one person that brought any food. I mean, I don't know. I guarantee you, a lot of people sneak food into a football game because they don't want to pay concession prices and things like that. I mean, you know, I mean, they can't even sit through a football game without eating food or getting popcorn or whatever. So I've often wondered, and I don't know, and maybe it's because they didn't really think that Jesus was going to sit and talk to them. They thought he was just going to keep walking wherever he was walking. They were going to hang around for a little bit and then go back, you know, to eat. But Jesus began to teach them, and like, man, I ain't going to leave. I mean, I got the greatest person ever to preach a sermon to me. I'm not going to go to the bathroom. I'm not leaving nowhere. Speaking of that, there weren't outhouses, and that's a whole nother thing that I think of things that most people don't, because if you're going to have an outside activity nowadays where you have 5,000 people, in order to follow the ordinances, you got to have a bunch of outhouses and things like that. I don't know where those people went, so that's a whole other thing that you shouldn't even think about. All right. So Jesus asked Philip, "Hey, can we buy bread anywhere?" And thinking, well, I could hike 20 miles somewhere, but I don't think I can bring it all back. I don't know. But then here's the thing. Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. It wasn't like, it wasn't like we can't find a place to feed them. We can't afford to feed them. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we can't even afford to buy bread. So he didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, there is no Walmart around, or there's no grocery store around." I was in Alabama last week, and they had the Piggly Wiggly. I remember the Piggly Wiggly. There's no Piggly Wiggly around. There's nothing around. There's not even a Quick Trip. I mean, there's Quick Trips on every corner around here, but there's not a Quick Trip. There's nothing. All right? But even if there was, we don't got enough money to feed these people. We're doing good feeding us. All right? So then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Hey, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" Now, he's thinking, if you read a barley loaf is not like it's not like the loaf of bread that you buy, at the store. It's a smaller loaf. And in fact, some people even said it might even just be like a biscuit. Because you understand, this was this kid's lunch. Now, you know what? I want to know who this kid's mom was, because this kid's mom, was a good woman. But you realize if it wasn't for this kid's mom, nobody would have eaten. You never know when you pack someone's lunch that it might go and feed 5,000 people. I mean, thank God for this kid's mom, because I guarantee you this kid didn't pack his own lunch. They were there. It says he had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. One of the accounts says it says 2 small fish. And that would make more sense because, it's a boy. Now, maybe he's a growing boy, or whatever. But how many fish do you eat? And plus, if you stuff it with all bread, makes you filled up anyway or whatever. And so imagine the scene. Here we go. There's 5,000 people. And that's not really that hard to imagine, because if we filled this whole building up and we filled up the both sides, we put some people on here because we've done it multiple times. About this room, if you take this room and you pack it, that's how many people were there. Now some accounts said that's how many men were there, plus there were women and children, so there could have been more than that. But let's just say if I had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, for me to even feed this section right here, this is the smallest section in the church, it wouldn't go further than this section. And if it did, it would go further, because these people were so nice and took so little, to help a couple of people in these other sections or whatever. I mean, because sometimes we don't imagine it because we're like, man, that's great. 5,000 people ate. And then it says, verse 10, it says, "Tell everyone to sit down." So Jesus said, so they all sat down on the grassy slope. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Now, some accounts said that Jesus had them set in groups of 50. All right. I don't know. If he did, man, he's really good. Okay, well, I wasn't here, but at the women's conference, mom like moved everybody around and made them sit in groups. And evidently it took a long time or whatever. And she had a microphone and she could describe what, I mean, think about Jesus. He didn't have no microphone. And they had to coordinate 5,000 people to get in groups of 50. I mean, that would be a miracle right there. Hey, there's only 49 in your group. You need to find somebody else. And, I don't really know what happened, but anyway, they all grouped up, and so they're all sitting there wondering what Jesus is going to do, because no, here's the other side about it. Do you realize that people in the back probably didn't know what Jesus was even doing? They got no clue. There it is. I'm here to be with Jesus, whatever he's doing. So he told everyone to sit down. And so he sat down in verse 11. Then Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks to God. All right, so the most important thing, see, Jesus took what they had. He took what they had and he thanked God for it. Father God, this is all we got. There's a lot of people here, but this is all. So I just thank you, Father, that this will be enough to be able to pass around. And so I don't know that he said a long prayer or anything, and anything spectacular. It just said he thanked God for the bread. Now, like I said, going back and to Philippians 4:6, when I was talking about it, it says, "Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's done." So they're just thanking God for what they have. This is what they have. And then this is interesting because I didn't really kind of notice this, but it says, then he took the loaves and gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. All right. Next, there's a period there. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish. I always assumed they mixed them together. But according to this, they started with bread. And then he did the same. So then he thanked God for the fish. So he took them separately. All right. And so here's the thing. Well, do you realize Jesus prayed for the bread and then he gave it to the disciples to pass out. Do you realize that if these people didn't have enough food, they're not griping at Jesus? They're going to complain to the disciples. And these ushers here can tell you a number of times that they get yelled at, or whatever. So, but can you imagine the thought, especially someone like Peter? Like, what am I supposed to do with this, Jesus? This won't even feed the 50 that I have over here. But you know what? They did what he said. Why'd they do what he say? Because he's Jesus. Right? See, he's Jesus. But you realize Jesus did the miracle of duplication or whatever he did. But when he gave the baskets to the disciples, it looked like there wasn't enough. So, the disciples were Jesus' hands and feet. But Jesus did the miracle. They're the ones that brought the miracle to the people. Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one who can do the miracle. You know what? And it's awesome to have a miracle done for us, but it's also awesome to partake in a miracle, to help Jesus perform his miracles upon the earth today. And he's looking for someone to be his hands and his feet because Jesus couldn't have fed the 5,000 people by himself. He needed his 12 disciples and some baskets. And they begin to pass them out. And the people pass them around. And they 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 pass them around. And it kept going. And it kept going. And it kept going. Now, I don't know if you've ever ate at a place, some kind of, dinner or whatever. They'll tell people, don't take a lot, just take a little bit. And then, maybe we'll call and have seconds. But according to this, Jesus didn't tell everybody, hey, just take a little bit. There was no instruction here to take a little bit. In fact, whenever we read this, verse 12 says, after everyone was full. After everyone was full. So this indicated that these people had enough bread and fish that they were fully satisfied. They had enough. When it didn't look like there was any way they were going to be able to eat, they not only ate, they ate until they were satisfied. Because that's the kind of God that we serve, the God that's more than enough, the kind of God that's able to satisfy us when it looks like there's not enough. When it looks like it ain't going to happen, when it looks like there is no way, because it was not just improbable to feed 5,000 men plus however many women and children. It was impossible to do that on 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. But you know what? When you serve a God that's more than enough, there's always more than enough if you believe. If you believe, that's the part. The part is, can you believe? Because if you don't believe, it ain't going to happen. And where's your faith? Your faith is in God. It's in God. Now, see, do you understand that when Jesus, thanked God for this bread. Jesus thanked God for these fish. Now, it didn't look like it was enough, but we just thank God for what we got. And we're going to make it work. Well, how's that going to work? I don't know. It's not up to me. The Bible tells me to believe. It doesn't tell me to figure out how I'm going to feed 5,000 people with a couple of fish and 5 loaves. It doesn't tell me how I'm going to do it. It tells me just believe. Just believe. Just believe. It does. See, you're trying to figure it out. Well, God, how is this going to work? The math doesn't work. It doesn't look like there's enough. But you know what? You know, God's a great mathematician. So I guess in this case, 2 + 5 = 5,000. Or 2 × 5. It don't matter, because it doesn't matter when the math doesn't look like it's working, because my faith is not in the math. My faith is not in science. My faith is not in anything. You know, my faith is not in my job. My faith is in my God. And my Bible says that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And here's the thing. Most of the time, you don't even need a miracle. You don't need a miracle. It's possible. It's improbable, but it's possible. And so, and the reason I'm saying that, because it should be easier to believe God, to get it through your head. The faith is the same, but it gets there, you got a 2% chance. That's not a big chance. Well, the other day we had like a 10% chance of rain, and it rained. And usually, I'm here to tell you, most of the time, not every time, in Oklahoma, for some of you that are here, students just moved into town. In Oklahoma, when they say it's going to be a blizzard, we might get a dusting. When they say it's probably not going to snow at all, that's whenever we get the blizzard. That's just what happens here, I don't know. So, but the thing is they ate as much as they wanted. They ate as much as they wanted, and everyone was full. And then the next thing it says, after everyone was full, Jesus told the disciples, now gather the leftovers so nothing is wasted. Thinking about, we have leftovers? We started with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. We fed 5,000 people. They ate all they wanted. and we have leftovers. So here's the thing. You can't tell me that someone wasn't full, because if they weren't full, they would go after the leftovers. Because nobody was fighting them. Because have you ever been the thing, you know, someone, you know, there's leftover, you're fixing to throw it out. I said, well, don't throw that out. I'll eat that. There's always that guy. You know, he comes for a third or fourth portion. All right. So they had leftovers, because if there was, if anyone wasn't full, they would be like, hey, over here, can I have that basket? I'm still hungry. No, nobody was hungry. They had all they needed. Well, but how'd that happen? I don't know. See, that's the thing. At some point, you need to figure out, you know, because your mind's going to think, how is this going to happen? And you need to understand, you don't have to know how it happens. The Bible doesn't say, you know, if you know how it happens, then you will have it. It says, if you believe. So quit trying to know how it happens. I don't know how it happened. I can't tell you one bit. If you want to know how it happens, when you get to heaven, you march up to talk to Jesus yourself. All right, if you're that curious. My point is, it happened. It happened. Now, you know, it goes on to say they picked up the, it says they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. When the people saw him do this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, surely he is the prophet we have been expecting. When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. So when people started freaking out, he's like, he took off, you know. Now, what is interesting is what the Bible says in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 talks a little bit about this. Verse number 12 says this, Jesus talking, red letters in your Bible, reading from the New Living Translation. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, now notice that, anyone. Notice it didn't say my disciples. It says anyone who believes in me. Do you realize anyone includes everybody in this room, everyone watching online, everyone that will eventually, you know, watch this on YouTube or wherever they might see this or hear this message, anyone, all right? I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me. See, we have to be believing in him, not in yourself. All right, anyone who believes in me will. It didn't say might, didn't say maybe, didn't say, well, I'll pray about it and get back to you. Jesus said, these are Jesus' words. So it ain't nobody else. It ain't some TV preacher's words, it's Jesus' words. He says, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. And I like the "and" part, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. Now, the Bible clearly says that the same works that he did and greater works. So that means if we had 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread, well, we could feed everybody in this room and have some left over, because we don't have 5,000 people in this room. Now, most of these people look at us and say, well, I don't believe that. I started out with, expect a miracle. What do you expect? Because you're only going to get what you expect. If you don't expect anything to happen, you're not going to have it. And that's why you're not having it, because you don't expect it. Because you're saying, well, that looks impossible, or that seems improbable. I just gave you an example where something was impossible. And what did Jesus do? He took what he had, he blessed it, he thanked God for it, and then he went out. And it was enough. You know what? We need to take what we have, because sometimes it doesn't seem like we have enough. But he said, God, this is all I got. This is all I got. You're going to have to work with it. I mean, I've told people, because sometimes people, especially some of the students, and because of their you know, they come to Rain Bible Training College, and because of their class thing, they can't work a normal 9-to-5 job, and they can't find a job that it maybe pays them for what they're trained to do. I tell them, man, take what you can get. Take what you, your job is not your source. God is your source. Take what you get. And then you can say, God, I'm faithful. I'm working. This is all I got right here. But just like that, you took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fishes. We thank you, Father, this will be more than enough for me to make it. And I don't know how it's going to do it, but the Bible says, if I believe, and I believe, I'm putting my faith in you. I'm putting my trust in you. I don't know how it's going to happen, but the disciples didn't know how it was going to happen, but Jesus used them in that miracle. I mean, when they started passing out their bread and fish, they might have been thinking, I'm not sure how this is going to go, but we're going to do what we're told. We're going to do what we're told. But see, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is still the one performing the miracle. You're not performing the miracle. You're just putting your faith in him. You're just believing in him. He's the one that's still doing it. The reason you're able to do greater things is because he's still doing that thing and greater things. You're not doing anything. You're like the disciples passing out the buckets. You're just there being his hands and feet. You're there. You're just a distribution channel. That's what they were. You know, the disciples, they distributed the fish. They distributed the bread. They were a distribution channel, and God is looking for a distribution channel to get his message to this whole world. You know, you're just going to be out there and do whatever, because I do believe, I said this yesterday on a podcast that I was on, I really believe that we're going to see more miraculous. Now, we got to believe it. I believe it, but we need to believe it. You know, we're living in the last days, and the Bible talks about the last day, talks about signs and wonders and all kinds of things. But in order for those to happen, we have to have 2 things. We got to believe, and we have to have distribution. We got to have people that are willing to go out to a lost and dying and hurting world and touch that world and say, you know what, talk about Peter and John in the temple. Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk, is what they said. See, it wasn't about them. It was about Jesus. We're trying to distribute Jesus to this lost and dying and hurting world, because he can change this world. But not only can he change this world, he can change your life. If you let him, there is nothing. Nothing is the word, no thing. There is no thing that can stop you if you believe. Now, going on after that, Jesus tells us that we can do greater things than he did. He goes on to say, verse 13, John chapter 14, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Period. Actually, a comma. I'm looking at the verse. Anyway, he says, and I will do it. So what does that mean to you? It means you can ask anything in his name and he will do it. Well, how's he going to do it? I don't know. That's your problem. Quit asking how. Quit trying to figure out how. In fact, you're not in faith if you try to figure out how, because according to faith, faith is an unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence, according to the dictionary. So you're not in faith. You can't believe if you're trying to figure out how. Well, it says, the big thing, once again, we get down to that word. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it. You know, once again, when it says you, it says if you ask anything in my name. So that if word comes around again. So if you're not getting your needs met, maybe you're not asking for anything. Well, but God knows I need this. Well, right here, he says, ask me. If, or you can ask me for anything, and I will do it, so the Son may bring glory to the Father. Yes, Ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So Jesus said, please ask me for anything. So if you need something, then you should be asking for whatever you need. And if you're not asking, that's the problem. You aren't asking. So start asking. Now, when you ask, you should believe. You should expect it to happen. Why should it happen? Because Jesus said so. Jesus, we just read, he says, ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. That's pretty clear. If it's not clear to you, it should be. Now, also, once again, I do want you to realize, if you have your Bible there, that is red letter. This is not Paul quoting Jesus. And, you know, and I say that because I want you to know that if Jesus, you know, wanted to say something, he would say it, and he said it. Now, we just gave an example how 5,000 people were fed with just a little bit. All right? And then Jesus said, those kind of things that I do or did, you should do, and greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. And then he says, so ask me. Ask me. Ask me what you want, and I will do it. And he says it twice. So what he's really meaning is, guys, please ask. Because if you're griping, have you asked him to help you? Well, he knows I have needs. I get it. But he says ask him. Now he says, not only does he ask him, he says, if you ask me, I will do it. Now, here's the thing. Once again, starting with our very first verse, our faith has to be in him that's going to do it. You're not going to do it. He is going to do it. Now, he might lead you and guide you and tell you to go to someplace or do something, but he's the one doing it. You're the asker. You're the believer. You're the expecter. You should expect a miracle. You should expect great things to happen. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter about the economy. It doesn't matter about anything. What matters is, can you believe? That's what matters. That's what matters. Can you believe? Because if you can believe, according to many scriptures, not just one, we read many scriptures, if you can believe, all things are possible. All things are possible. And it doesn't matter if it looks impossible. It doesn't matter if it seems impossible. I said, for whatever reason, that this was the only miraculous account that was in every gospel, and I believe because it was that important that you need to understand, even when it looks like you don't have enough, that God will bless what you have. God will bless what you have and multiply it. I mean, he's just that good of God. So what do we need to do with this? Well, first of all, we should expect more. When we're standing in faith and believing, we should expect it to happen. You should never question it's not going to happen because my faith is in God alone. It's just that simple. It's not hard. It's simple. The problem is it's hard to get our mind quiet enough to, because the devil's going to like, that's impossible. He's going to like throw all kinds of things at you. There is no way. I mean, how's that going to work? That's just the devil being the devil. All right. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to put thoughts in your head, and he's going to use people to put those thoughts in your head sometimes. But you know, where's your faith? If you can believe. That means you got to keep believing because, you know, according to the word, according to faith, faith is an unquestioning belief. With faith, there is no question. You never wonder if it's going to happen or not going to happen. You believe. And I tell you what, we should expect a miracle. We should expect the improbable. If nothing else, we should expect, you know, something good to happen to us today. Why? Because we serve a good God. You know what? You know, it is good for God to minister to you, but you know what else something good is to be that distributor and be able to talk to somebody and share Jesus with somebody or get somebody healed or somebody set free. In fact, I want to give you guys a testimony before we go today because, you know, because this seems improbable. So I want you to, you know, because some people wonder about this. I said, well, you know, when we reach out and we pray for the people that are watching online, you know, do they really get healed or can they really get healed? And so I got a testimony the other day that somebody that were watching it online that, you know, understand, you realize, I mean, when we come up to minister to the prayer class and pray for, you know, people there, it's kind of doing almost the announcement time, actually. It's not after we prayed. So there's a lady that watches us online, and I talked to her daughter. And so she had a wart on her finger. She actually had a Band-Aid on that wart. And she reached her hand out toward the screen. I reached my hand out to her, and we began to pray. Now, the testimony goes, I don't know when, I don't know if it was immediately, I don't know if it was later on the day, but I want to tell, it says when she took that Band-Aid off, the wart was gone. Now that kind of seems improbable, but it happened. Now that might seem like that's a small thing, well, people can live with warts, but you don't have to. You know, a lot of people live with things they don't have to live with because they don't ask about it, they don't do anything about it, they just let it sit there. You know? I mean, you know, people gripe about certain body parts that hurt all the time. Well, you know, first of all, quit saying they hurt all the time. Do something about it. But I just simply gave you a simple message to expect, to ask. And I gave you an example that it doesn't matter if it looks miraculous. Because, you know, the Bible says that the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. But the deal is that even when Jesus is a miracle, he actually uses his disciples. If his disciples wouldn't pass the bread out and the fish out, nobody would have ate. And it is interesting, once again, which I brought out to, you know, thank God for that little boy that brought the you know, I guess, in our 21st century, the seed. I mean, he brought something for Jesus to bless. Because if he didn't have anything, as Jesus would have had to, you know, made the air turn into bread. You know, but, you know, it doesn't matter. Our God is able. So I want you to always be able to expect a miracle because Jesus says that the things that I did and greater things shall you do. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father, to help us each and every time we get in situations where it seems improbable. It seems that there is no way. It might even be impossible. We thank you, Father. Help us to understand that we can expect a miracle. We can believe. We can ask. And we can have our needs met, Father. Father God, we just thank you to help us whenever we're going through that situation to not listen to the outward emotion and outward stuff that tries to tell us that it's not going to happen. But help us not try to figure out how it's going to happen, but help us put our faith in you and our trust in you, knowing that it will happen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I want to today. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here today, you say, I don't know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I want to. Lift your hand if you're in the audience and you need to be saved. Or maybe here and you say, man, I knew Jesus, but I've turned my back and went away. I want to rededicate myself to him today. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. Or maybe here and say, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. My grandfather talks about a no-so experience. Man, if you need to have that no-so experience, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure no one leaves this place without that salvation knowledge. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I don't see any hands, but we just thank you, Father, right now that you're ministering to anyone here that needs to know your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You have something you want to sing?
Move the immovable. break the unbreakable.